Hello, I'm Wendy Garrett. Thank you for listening to Wendy's Coffee House. Okay, I went to the archives to get this one because it's from 2015, Lizette Larkins. She has several books. They are very interesting. This is when she was still doing interviews. There is one channel right now on YouTube where she has one video, and that's it. But she does have several books, and there's some other interviews you can find. So stick around. It's a fascinating hour.
I did do a stint in a psychiatric hospital when my then-husband encouraged me to admit myself because, come on, you're not supposed to be flying around on spacecraft with little gray men, right?
My guest, Lizette Larkins, Above and Beyond, The Incredible True Story of Extraterrestrial Contact. Now, there are other books. She's written several. Lizette, what I want to get into is, when did this start? How old were you?
About seven. You know, so second grade. And it produced in me a sense of awe. I was not terrified. I was in awe, but I didn't tell anyone. I didn't grow up in that kind of environment where we sat around talking about, hey, I wonder if there's other life out there. It just did not feel safe. But what's really interesting is that decades later, my older sister, you know, after my books were published, told me that as a child, she saw crafts over the house. And she kept that a secret. She also didn't say anything. So there's all these secrets being kept because of the cultural paradigm in which we live, right? I mean, and it's not something that's made up. I did do a stint in a psychiatric hospital when my then-husband encouraged me to admit myself because, come on, you're not supposed to be flying around on spacecraft with little gray men, right?
It just not. He was an opportunist. I thought, oh boy, this was brilliant, just manipulation. Brilliant, and you know that's what it is.
Yes, and you know, to give him some credit, he was frightened. And fear, let's face it, fear is what drives all, you know, of the evil acts on Earth, right? Even you know, ISIS or beheadings or whatever, it's all about internal fear. And we had a small child at the time when my contact started up in earnest. I was married with a small child, and it started up again. And people often ask me, you know, why then? What was the timing? You know, the timing, the reason why they started then is because I was on my knees in emotional pain. I was praying to the God of my understanding saying, what the heck? How do you fix this marriage? How do you do this? It was painful. My life was painful. I didn't have little angels with wings, you know, flitting into my bedroom. I started having face-to-face contact experiences with, in the flesh, if you can call it flesh, you know, real beings who came to knock some sense into me. And how that happened was that I, through the experiences, became aware of my immortal self. And you know what? It solves all the problems. Because when we know who we really are, we get in touch with what we came here to do, which always has to do with, are you ready? It's about learning how to overcome obstacles with dignity and grace, period. You know, and we don't like to really become aware of it, but what's happening here on Earth in this incredibly challenging life school, this unbelievable marine boot camp of Earth, is that we are being strengthened as souls. And the way that we do that, and we've agreed to this with our wise counsel, the way that we do that is to experience all different kinds of pain. Pain is the great teacher, and we don't like to think about that, and we know that intellectually, and at the end of the pain, you know, sometimes decades later, we say, I am a different person because of it. But when we're in the middle of it, we deny it. We want to get out of it. This can't be right. This can't be what I signed up for.
And the changes that these difficult circumstances and difficult people force us to do cause us to be, in a lot of ways, better humans, better beings, as we really deal with that inner conflict, that inner denial of heart. That's the way it's just, you won't allow yourself to be who you are because it's too frightening, and the society isn't going to, in our view, support us. And so what's the point?
Yes. And so people say, well, what did the ETs say? You know, what were they? The whole idea was one of spiritual mentoring, which has to do with all of the things that all of the ancient spiritual, you know, wisdom traditions point to. So this is not new material, folks. Sorry. It's the same thing, but it's the part that's hardest for us to master because we're attempting to merge our soul mind with our human brain. And it's hard to sometimes run a body. It's hard to control a body with its chemical issues and its hormonal issues. And so here we are trying to live productive lives in the midst of upset and turmoil and problems. So, you know, the whole message has been whatever current difficult situations in life we have right now, they're agreed to in advance by mutual agreement, you know, with our own soul group and with our own spiritual advisors. And knowing this alone can often help the sense of loss diminish. And so why ETs? You know, why not, you know, a wise elder? Well, I saw that too. Because as soon as I saw the extraterrestrials, I became exposed to a different electromagnetic frequency. And by the way, the first, you know, many years of contact was so painful. And I'm not talking about the probings. I'm talking about the electromagnetic presence in which they are imbued.
It's we're not compatible in that sense.
Well, ideally, our souls are, but we're in a human body, and so
right.
There's challenges, right? And
right.
So when they're in my room or when I'm in their presence, it felt like I was being electrocuted. It's like,
yeah.
You know, there's this, it's like lightning in a bottle, right?
How uh-huh. Yeah.
So
yeah, the burning.
Right. So it's, and so the, all the phenomena goes along with that, the bright lights and the wishing and the sound of a locomotive and every kind of sense is on overload. But the amazing thing happened when that happened is that the veil of the universe lifted. So not only was I able to perceive aliens, so-called aliens, I was able to perceive the life that we are all involved in the interlife, in the life between lives, the life that people who have had near-death experiences have long alluded to. And that was the power. Because to know what's going on behind the scenes, oh my gosh, it was a game changer. Now, I didn't have that, you know, cognition overnight because I was a person who wasn't sure if there was such a thing as, you know, coming, did we really come back again? I was mired in my victim role. I was, you know, a very upset woman in a bad marriage with a child who had challenges, learning challenges. And I had every kind of issue there was. And so as I started to be exposed to the aliens and interspersed with that, these amazing trips to the interlife, I'm thinking I'm going out of my mind. How am I? Because I knew what near-death experiences were. There's enough in the literature to know what those are. You know, you go down the tunnel, you know, look at your body, and then you discuss your life, and maybe you come back. I hadn't died. I had no physical ailment.
Yeah, it's like, wait a minute. Yeah, you had to make your own blueprint, basically.
Yes, and so what I had to unravel it all. And keep in mind that I unraveled it in the context of a woman who had no appropriate self-image. So I didn't have any confidence in myself. If I did, I probably wouldn't have needed the experiences, right?
See, that's part of what I think this is about. They're not coming to people who consciously seek the external thing of, see, look how well I've done with myself. I am perfect. And so now the ETs are coming to me because they say I'm an example for the rest of humanity. No. They pick somebody else who says, I'm not worthy.
Yeah, I was the poster child for, you know, just being a mess.
And we'll pick it up there when we come back. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. KCMO Talk Radio, Wendy's Coffee House. Dr. Gray, that you talked to?
Yes. And let's talk about that. What is that shape-shifting? People always say, what do the aliens look like? Well,
yeah.
Honey, they can look any way they want because when you're an evolved being, and by the way, we have that ability too, because
yeah.
We look differently. We have different bodies every time we come into this life, right? ETs, they look however they want to look. They know how to use matter.
And we left off at?
Yeah, I was the poster child for, you know, just being a mess.
when you're reading the book, Lizette's book, when you're into this, because she's talking about the victim thing, Above and Beyond is the book I'm talking about, with the incredible true story of ET contact. How's that? Well, what happens is, by the time you get to that mental hospital, I'm ready to just take you and shake you. Lizette, what are you doing? Why did you fall for that? I can see how debilitating that constant level of put down adds up and creates a victim. And I was just so like, man, and I knew why you were going there. I knew it had to break down all of your resistance to build you up, because the story of you getting out of that situation is pretty darn phenomenal. You want to share that?
Yeah. You know, it was about coming to terms with, and this is even while I was in the hospital, being shown these snapshots, videos of other lives that I had the same karmic pattern. You see what I mean? This is key. When we look at what is problematic with our life right now, so here I am in a nut house, right? I lose custody of my son. My husband throws away the keys, closes my bank accounts. Things were different in the 80s as they are today. I think if you're married today and you're in a nut house, you know, they can't just go close your bank account, take away custody of your kid. It was different then. My friends and family are like, what? That reaction of, oh my gosh, people are also afraid to even talk to me in there. And so I'm being shown these video snippets, because I'm still having these kind of these teaching moments, and in which I am understanding that this is a karmic pattern for eons of lifetimes. So maybe I'm being burned at the stake in this as a witch in some life, and maybe I'm this and battered in this other situation. And so it's coming to terms with breaking that karmic repetitive pattern once and for all. And most of us do not do it in one lifetime, especially, you know, because what's hard for me is easy for you. What's easy for you is, you see what I mean? So we all have a demon that we're overcoming, that we're attempting to break through. So if you had a lifetimes of substance abuse, let's just say, yes, you're going to come back to parents who are addicts to test your resolve. Have you really worked on this? Because in interlife, we're studying. We're looking at our lives. We're studying. And then we come back into life in a physical body to test what we have learned. So there I am in the nut house, trying to look at the bigger picture. Here I'm in a nut house. I'm trapped. I've lost everything. No friends. You know, everybody hates me. Everyone thinks I'm a nut. I have no job, no bank account, nothing. I can't even make a call outside because they take away your purse. Heck, they don't even give you soap without, you know, supervising you in the shower, because when I was there, one of the girls committed suicide by stuffing her bathrobe sleeve down her throat. So I'm looking, okay, what does this have to do with anything else? So I'm digging deep in my soul. And what happens? What happens is that I had yet another of those quote-unquote victimizing experiences where I'm in my room, depressed, lying on the bed, you know, oh, woe is me. How am I going to get out of here? I'm trapped. I have a child custody hearing in 3 weeks that I can't get to. I'm going to lose my kid forever, feeling like a total failure. And while I'm lying there, one of the orderlies comes in and starts to sexually molest me. Oh, my gosh. You know, most of us don't see that as the grand opportunity. I'm not kidding. To this day, I'm convinced that that guy was probably a shape-shifted ET. It allowed me to be able to go into the director and say, one of your orderlies tried to molest me, and he says, liar, liar, pants on fire. Mm-hmm. You're claiming to see aliens, so you know, you're no reliable witness. But it allowed me to say, if it's happening to me, I bet you it's happening to others, and I'm going to call the LA Times, and we're going to start an investigative, you know, report that's going to knock your socks off, close you down, and you guys are going to end up in one of these places.
Yeah, but the ally was you had a witness. There was another person who knew of this individual.
Yes, they let me out.
Yeah, and the person, the other Dr. Gray that you talked to?
Yes. How about that guy? Dr. Gray, yes. Dr. Gray, this is just, you know, because, and let's talk about that. What is that shape-shifting? People always say, what do the aliens look like? Well, honey, they can look any way they want, because when you're an evolved being, and by the way, we have that ability too, because we look differently. We have different bodies every time we come into this life, right? So we're shape-shifting too. So ETs, they look however they want to look. They know how to use matter.
All they have to do is give us a perception, and we are so suggestible. We are highly vulnerable in that aspect, that if they say, I am a chameleon, and that's impressed upon you. There's no language. You see the picture of the chameleon and you don't see what's behind it. And that's where we are trying to get up to speed into how this can be possible, because right now the majority of our brains and our socialization process do not acknowledge this as a viable reality. It's only viewed in shamanistic terms and realms where it's like, yeah, gosh, you know, no brainer. That's 101. But the rest of humanity, the rest of the species is beginning to get indoctrinated by personal experience and seeing what others like you are talking about and writing about and sharing in their stories of, maybe this element might work for me. Not the entire thing, but this element might apply to my situation. And as you connect more dots, your reality gets bigger and bigger and your awareness grows exponentially.
Absolutely.
Dr. Gray.
Yeah. So, you know, he appears, he can look any way he wants by putting a perception on me, and I have a perception of him. You know, it was a moment of encouragement where he's basically said to me, fight for yourself. Get the heck out of here. I didn't see how I could get out of there. So I was just kind of surrendering to becoming this, being this perfect patient. It's like, and you know, one thing I want to explain is, one of the things I had in the back of my head, maybe I am crazy. You know, maybe there is something about me that's screwed up. And I was really concerned that if there was something wrong with me, I mean, you know, this is L.A. I can take a pill. Why can't I take a pill if I'm having, you know, hallucinations? Right? I mean, we take pills for everything. I can take a pill. I was really, there was a part of me that wondered if maybe I was nuts. And, of course, this is addressed in another book of mine, Talking to Extraterrestrials, in which as soon as I got out of the nut house, I actually did find somebody to go see from a therapeutic standpoint. And I submitted to not 6 months, 6 years of weekly individual and group therapy for 6 years, because I really did want to know. You know, I didn't read any of the ET literature. I just wanted to know what was up with me. And also, mine wasn't the classic stuff. I had these near-death experiences. I was seeing aliens. I was hearing the thoughts of people. I had all of it. And I wanted to know what was happening.
And let me interject here, because I've talked with Penny Kelly and I've talked with a few other people and I've had my own Kundalini thing going on. When people have a Kundalini awakening, a Kundalini breakthrough, a shift, sometimes it can duplicate, it can create some of the things that you are talking about with the locomotive, the sounds, the vibrations, some of these things that are also experienced with an ET contact experience. These are also a dynamic shift of paradigm that it can also be associated with a Kundalini awakening. Now, the language we use makes it really complex, because a bigger thing is happening that incorporates all of this on different levels. And instead of just one path, there are multiple paths that are all converging into this greater awareness that then brings us to a new knowing that, oh my gosh, this is happening all around us. And it isn't just paranormal. It isn't just a ghost. It isn't just a Kundalini. It isn't just an ET. It's the whole darn thing. And we have to figure out, well, what am I able in this tiny human brain body to comprehend and integrate or intellectualize? Because that's where it gets difficult.
Yes. A soul's immortal character, you know, we have a personality, an immortal character. It may actually be in opposition to the brain of the human host that we're occupying. There may be a conflict with an emotional temperament of the human host, but that is by design.
When you talk about the matrix, the blue pill, the red pill, you know, it doesn't matter. You don't need a pill. You need a mind check.
Right. I love Penny Kelly. I went out to see her in a ranch and we were laughing like school children. You know, we got aliens and elves and it's like, woo!
Yes.
It's like the ultimate Disneyland, right?
And that might even be an understatement. My interview with Penny Kelly is in the Audio Boom archives for Wendy's Coffee House. We talked about the Kundalini and Men in Robes, and she has several books. These are on consciousness. And we'll continue with Lizette Larkins talking about the ETs and contact. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. KCMO Talk Radio, Wendy's Coffee House. Again, this is when Lizette Larkins was still doing interviews in 2015. So I pulled it out because it is in the theme of what we've been talking about with extraterrestrial contact with John Foster and John Foster's daughter, Kendra. Also in the archives, I've got the interview with Terry Lovelace. And there's so much more talk about this all across the board with the UFO issue. Well, the ETs are part of that. and we still don't really know what's going on. And Lizette had a lot of good content. Above and Beyond, the incredible true story of extraterrestrial contact. Another scenario that people talk about and don't connect the dots until somebody else brings it up. When I had the Men in Black thing, it was in a dream. They pulled up in the black car, and I hadn't been watching any ET films. I wasn't even, I was like, that wasn't registering at that time in my life. I was having my own relationship determination of what next, because I'd already had these tremendous metaphysical experiences for several years and wonderful shamanistic encounters. But this was one of those core issues, those soul issues that I had to reckon with. And in the dream, they came up to me in the middle of a field. I won't go into details. They had the black suits, the white shirts. There were three of them. One spoke to me, the other two kind of stayed in the, you know, behind and said, we need you to start doing what you agreed to do when you came here. And in the dream, I knew that was a serious reminder that I had to shift course.
That is so freaking powerful. And that really speaks to the heart of it. It's, we all do have contracts, not contracts on our life. We have contracts with our, you know, wise group that we're going to come here and do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as much as we like to talk about stilling the mind and living in the now and being peaceful, it's a laboratory of chaos, Earth is. We came to do something here. So, right, your wake-up call, that is profound.
Well, it was just a reminder. And at that point in the dream, I somehow knew I did not have a when I woke up, it wasn't a specific act, but I changed my life. I went from one direction and completely, totally opposite. And in the physical plane, it manifested in my house as I made this choice, a whirlwind around me, a tornado, and it created all sorts of metaphysical anomalies. When you described these guys, it's like, you don't ever, or I didn't, I just, Men in Black, you know, what's that? It's just a, you know, it's the CIA. It's somebody undercover. No. Get over that. It's even better.
Yes, exactly.
That it's an official admonishment or a reminder that, okay, let's get real. There's another thing you've agreed to. We appreciate you doing your other work, but this one is really important right now. So get on the program. And that's what happened with you. You described that in your book.
Yes, it was get on track. And so for me, I at the time, now remember, I've set the stage in that I was a apparent victim. You know, I'm in this all these different scenarios of victimization, right? So I'm having trouble in my marriage with an angry person, and I was working at the time, and I was, my, you know, this is again in the 80s before sexual harassment we had really understood as much as we do now. And I worked for a very powerful, wealthy man, my boss, and he was regularly sexually molesting all the women in the office, including me. And I'm wanting to quit, but my husband didn't want me to quit. And so I had one of these same experiences that Wendy just described, which is these men came to me in an apparition, and, you know, and I'm nudging my husband in bed saying, honey, look, you know, and he's like, go back to bed. He can't see anything. And they're basically saying, hey, get on the program, which, and I was being asked at that point by this employer to collude with something he was doing in the office that was insurance fraud, illegal. And I was afraid to stand up to him. And so after that experience in which these men came to me, I went down to an attorney with one of my coworkers, and we filed a lawsuit. You know, it took many years, but it ended. I was subpoenaed by the grand jury. This was a guy who was donating, you know, wings to children's hospitals. He was considered an up-and-up member of the community. And so that started me on my path because, remember, I'm describing the way that I have been in lifetimes, a pattern of feeling rejected, devalued, and betrayed. So I come back into this life. So what do you think I'm going to work on? Do you think my life is going to be working on, you know, learning how to play the piano? No. It's going to be thrust into opportunities where I get to again experience intense feelings of being rejected, devalued, and betrayed.
A lot of people prefer to, you know, gloss over with some of the self-help things of you won't go to those people if you're healthy. And it's not that you're not healthy. It's that there is a spiritual agreement, something between the two of you, whether that individual needs it or you need it. It's something that is a pre-contract that you have to fulfill the obligation one way or the other. And it doesn't mean you're a bad person when you have issues like this crop up in your life. It means, okay, homework time is over. Now do the program.
Yes. And what's so awesome is that the people like me who have repetitive habits of falling into a life being rejected, devalued, and betraying and losing one's sense of power, who do you think we would be matched with? Of course, I, in the pre-planning stages, in the interlife, I am matched with employers, partners, parents, friends who have their own work to do. And their work is to not fall back on patterns of being overly aggressive, holding an authoritarian power over others, et cetera, et cetera. So naturally, I matched with them. They have an opportunity to grow through it. And let's just say, because people get confused about this, they said, but you act as though they're, if they're teaching you how to stand up to it, you're saying that's good in them. The point is that they too have an opportunity to overcome that. And so had they met their own program, they wouldn't have. And then I would have gone on to a plan B victimizer. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We're
yeah.
all
oh, yeah.
being challenged.
Yeah.
We're all being challenged, but we're gonna have the experience. So if my boss turned the corner and apologized and said, I realize I'm abusing you, I'm going to stop it right now, and I thank him, and then I go to another job, it'll be somebody else because yeah. I'm here to be tested. I'm testing my resolve.
Yeah, there's so much of this. It's much more complex, and yet at the same time, it's really relatively simple. We're here to learn. And all of these little challenges and all of these little hurdles, what's the bottom line that you really come back to full circle learning? You keep your heart. You don't lose it. It stays with you. And if you shut it down, that's the lose. That's the loss. So you have to remember, as you're learning all these lessons, the bigger picture is that each and every one has a challenge. You don't have to go into the death spiral and completely
yeah.
give up your heart to help them succeed. Sometimes you just have to say, this is wrong. I don't accept this. I'm not going to participate like you did with that situation. And the beauty of it, when it came full circle and you came out of that little mental ward, that little stint that you had, and there is on the TV, the broadcast saying, guess who won this? And there's the money. And there you see all of this stuff. The timing is absolutely impeccable.
I know. Wasn't that crazy to be able to, and my attorney was like, oh no, you're not going to trade this award for your custody of your kid when you're probably going to get your kid back anyway. And I said, is there a 1% chance that I'll get in front of a judge and the judge won't buy it? In other words, that the judge will buy my husband's version. And she said, well, of course, I can't guarantee. I said, well, then, you know, let me trade it. I'll trade it. I said, that's an easy trade to make.
Well, yeah, yours came with a guarantee. That was all it took. Okay. Here, buddy, here's the money, sign off. And he's like, well, okay, you put it that way, no problem. And this is, I'm oversimplifying this. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but
no,
that is so beautiful that you said, it's not about the money. I got my son. He has what he wants. Everybody's happy. Life goes forward.
I know. And you know what? I love to disrespect it because really, you know, it's like, come on, you know, we're all just in this mishmash of drama, doing the best we can. And really, we all take ourselves so seriously. You know?
Well, it's that thing of, you know, the people that are involved in this, you know, they sometimes take themselves more seriously. And so when I throw that little water or salt on the open wound, it's like, I understand. Believe me, this stuff, when you're going through it, it hurts. It just hurts. You can't see your way out and you just, what? And so when this intervention comes in and all of a sudden that hurt just dissolves and you have your resolve and you go, well, why didn't I see this before? Because you hadn't integrated the lesson.
Right. Because, you know, we understand denial when we see it in an addict whom we love. We understand that mechanism of denial. Just can't see it. But those of us who are not struggling with addictions, well, we really are. You know, we're addicted to the myth of our cultural paradigm, which says the importances are accumulation, material accumulation, et cetera, when really, you know, we're learning how to become the most compassionate givers of ourselves with an open heart. You know, and how do you do that? you got to have the mess kicked out of you so that you really understand what compassion is.
Develop empathy.
You can't forgive somebody unless you feel that you have legitimately been wronged, mm-hmm. abused and used and slayed. You know, when you've been slayed, now that is a powerful position from which to have a sense of compassion and forgiveness.
Lizette has several books. Calling on Extraterrestrials, Talking to Extraterrestrials, Listening to Extraterrestrials Above and Beyond. Just Google, you'll find them. Her website does not work. This interview was in the archives. And there's more. After this break, Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. KCMO Talk Radio, Wendy's Coffee House.
The meat of the experience is about the internal shift that occurs not only for contactees, but for all of the people around the contactee.
Lizette Larkins, again, this interview was recorded some time ago, and it really does offer a lot of content. Her books, Calling on Extraterrestrials, Talking to Extraterrestrials, I'm not going to say that again, Above and Beyond, Difficult People, Listening to Extraterrestrials, 11 Steps to Inviting Your Own UFO Encounters. Okay, it's all there. So if you're more interested in that, check out the books. Do a Google search. You'll find them. The website no longer works, and there's no action on the Facebook page. But the content is still relevant. So that's why we're talking, and that's why we're listening. Picking up where we left off with Lizette Larkins. Above and Beyond, the incredible true story of extraterrestrial contact. You got through all of these challenges. You came to a level where you could write about it. You could disclose it. You could go out in public, and you could take the show on the road and say, all right, George Norrie, here I am. This is my story. And how'd that go?
Oh, well, yeah. People want the details about the aliens and where I was in the universe and what was the name of the planet and what are the name of the, you know, the ETs and how many fingers did they have. And so the challenge is always attempting to explain that the meat of the experience is about the internal shift that occurs not only for contactees, but for all of the people around the contactee, right? And so it's a constant challenge, if you will, to keep the focus away from the hard facts of where are they from. Well, how can you answer that question? When we're immortal beings, we all have these amazing incarnations on different places. So in this one particular lifetime, I might be from living on planet Earth. The ETs that came to me, for instance, they incarnate at another location, and I have shared incarnations with them in other lifetimes, which is why now when we have these group reunions on Earth, which is the connection. People say, well, you know, what's the connection individually and collectively? Those people who are seeing these otherworldly beings have often had incarnations with them as a soul group. But then we split apart in this incarnation, and we're doing our own work, and there are many difficulties, and we know what all those difficulties are. And then we have people who are wanting to talk about the experiences, but because people are on the first leg of their own journey, they're not yet really able to kind of hold dear the part that is to do with the internal growth, the internal shift, and we're constantly focusing on the externals, which are constantly changing.
With the science, we still say you're still in the mechanistic role of, I don't believe it until I've got the bones. I want the body and then I'll believe it. But, you know, you have a body and don't know anything about it. They found this wonderful woolly rhino. Don't know anything about it except the carcass that it has. And they assume they know something because they know the carcass, or we assume. And it's like, you know, you have to stop killing things and looking at the inner workings until you know how they work without killing them. And then maybe you won't need to kill them to learn about them. That's where we are with this mechanistic type of thinking and methodology. It helps to go through and read books like you're writing to say, oh, this happened. When you're talking about that heat, that tremendous heat, when they are in your space and you are not acclimated, it can be very discombobulating, disconcerting. It can be frightening for all of those reasons. It's unfamiliar territory. And so that fear response is ingrained in us. But once you start expanding your awareness and breaking down your old paradigm belief systems, then this stuff becomes less harmful in that way. You're no longer that incompatible. The body has elevated, and so that the vibrational frequencies are more compatible. That's the best way for me to use language to describe it. Once you've had these experiences, you know. And it doesn't take anybody else to say it's happening. You just, they can't say it isn't because you've been there. You know. That's powerful.
Absolutely. It's a soul's destiny to search for truth, you know, in our experiences in order to gain wisdom. And what better way to do that than having these amazing jaw-dropping experiences in order to search for truth?
Thank you for your time. I really appreciate what you're doing. And there are so many stories beyond this with the woman that you were a caregiver for, and even having the new dog that came in as the caregiver. There's so many connections that the story is ongoing. So, you know, keep writing. Now, the other thing is there a movie? Because you sat next to the guy on the plane and the physicist who was saying, nah, 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 poo-poo, And then by him doing that, you got to talk about your stuff. And the guy said, by the way, I'm a screenwriter. Hey, how can I contact? Anything come from that?
I've optioned my books, and I've had lots and lots of interest. And what happens is, you know, so far, Hollywood ends up needing it to be the scary aliens. And then I say, nah, I don't want to do that. So it hasn't happened yet. I don't need it to happen. If that's, you know, this is a paradigm in which that for right now may be the only way they want to do it. So I'll just, you know, I can wait three lifetimes. I'm not in any rush.
You're fine. I wanted to bring that up because I know somebody else who's having that same challenge. And as long as you don't write it the way that they want the outcome to be, then they're not green lighting it just yet.
Once you sign your rights, you have no control over it.
Yeah.
So I just assume, you know, I don't really need to do this.
I am going more into this topic because it's a time when people are experiencing this in mass numbers. They don't know where to go with it. They don't know what to say. And they don't have friends who say, aha, been there, done that, for the very reason of it's our challenge to find those people like Lizette.
If one of your listeners is in the midst of trauma and they're trying to deal with how to talk to their family or loved ones about it, go to the appendix of Talking to Extraterrestrials. It's one of my books. And I have a clinician who writes about it from a therapeutic standpoint, because this is the guy who evaluated me for a period of 6 years. And he writes about it from a perspective of a clinician and you know what that means. And it's extraordinarily helpful to just hand that to somebody. Say, just read this. It's I don't know how many, 10 pages. And it talks about what that means and why people experience trauma in the context of this culture. Is in my case, I was out of control when this started happening. I was upset and depressed, and so it looks as though there's something wrong with me when it is a reaction to extraordinary events. And that's what he talks about from the perspective of a well-respected clinician. So it's powerful if somebody needs that kind of help with a sound.
And the other thing to address, the electromagnetic, if somebody is an experiencer, how that correlates?
Yes, that is best described in Above and Beyond, what that is and why that is and how even the planet is, you know, is partnering with. It's the whole electromagnetic change. And really, that's what's happening with us as beings. As we grow in wisdom, our electromagnetic frequency changes. And so naturally, if we're being mentored by beings, they're going to have a more powerful essence of electromagnetic surge than we have, because it's embodied by wisdom. It's measured by amount of wisdom and knowledge, spiritual knowledge, not, you know, cultural facts. When we're exposed to those changes, that's the part of growth. So yes, there are challenges with the body and also with the mind going through that.
It's about time we shifted our perspective on this. Okay, stop bringing out the fear-mongering and the conspiracy theorists and stop trying to put the big red flag on it and say, boo, boo, bad, bad, you know, fright, 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 and go with upgrade. You can't be afraid of your shadow forever, all right? When you recognize it's just you in another form, then you start saying, well, isn't that interesting? Well, what am I doing? And why would I be there? And how can I see from both dimensions? And the world gets omnidimensional instead of one monotonous, boring overload of gloom. Okay? So, Lizette, thank you.
Thanks, Wendy. Thank you. It's been my honor.